loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joelle Castex, who is the West Coast spokesperson for SNAP, the Survivors Network for Those Abused by Priests, a former journalist, educator, and public relations professional. She's now a leading national spokesperson, writer, public speaker, and advocate for victims of child sex abuse. Her blog, The Worthy Adversary, has become one of the most popular and well-read online journals chronicling issues of child sexual abuse. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joelle Castex.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the Los Angeles Times on Tuesday is running a front page story. LA church leaders sought to hide sex abuse cases from authorities, which reveals documents from the late 1980s that show Archbishop Roger Mahoney and other archdiocese officials discussed strategies to keep police from discovering that children were being sexually abused by priests. Now, for the longest time, the country's largest archdiocese, Los Angeles, has fought to keep this evidence from ever keep it secret. And it seems to have come out in a civil case, even though the LA district attorney tried to look into it. And so did the United States attorney here in Los Angeles.
That's true. And the Archdiocese, you know, they had promised documents as a part of the 2007 settlement with 500 victims of sex abuse. But these documents were not a part of that settlement. They're part of a new lawsuit against a priest named Nicholas Aguilar Rivera. And because of a tenacious attorney named Anthony DeMarco, he was able to get these documents and make them public.
And these are documents that pretty much reveal the role of Cardinal Mahoney in being the arbiter of the fate of these priests. And some of it is actually quite incriminating.
Exactly. I mean, this is the first time that we have had real proof how hands-on Cardinal Mahoney was in the career management of these perpetrator pedophile priests. And it's shocking because for years, you know, we knew that he was involved. We knew that other church officials like Monsignor Curry were involved. But we had no idea how meticulously they worked to ensure that men that they knew were a risk and were abusing kids, that they had a complete strategy to make sure that those men were never sent to jail and that victims were never informed that they had rights.
Well, instead of sending these men to jail, apparently they sent them off to a retreat in New Mexico, where they apparently, it was called the Servants of the Paraclete. And while some of these pedophile priests were in this retreat, presumably to cure them of pedophilia, the Archbishop Mahoney wrote to one of the priests, a particularly egregious one, who had raped young boys and abused a whole lot of young guys, young children in the Catholic Church. And this is Garcia. And Mahoney writes to Garcia and says, "Each of you there at Yemeni Springs," this is this retreat, "is very much in my prayers, and I call you to mind each day during my celebration of the Eucharist." I've heard this before, and it's been pretty evident before, that one of the strangest things about the Catholic hierarchy is they seem to be bending over backwards to protect the perpetrators and ignore the victims. And again, the evidence here is overwhelming.
Exactly. I mean, the Servants of the Paraclete in New Mexico was the biggest treatment center for offending clerics in the United States for a long period of time. men who were sent there for one reason, and that's because they were molesting kids. And so Cardinal Mahony was reserving all of his prayers for these child molesters while not lifting a finger to help the victims, not calling law enforcement, not informing parents, not doing anything. And then when these men, many of these men came back, they were allowed right back into ministry where they continued to offend.
Well, this particular priest, Garcia, who apparently tied up and raped a young boy in Lancaster, another priest, Father Arturo Gomez, who was an associate pastor at a predominantly Spanish-speaking church, he wrote to his regional bishop in 1989 saying that he was angry and disappointed. I'm reading here from the story in the Los Angeles Times, who, by the way, have to be commended because they were a part of a lawsuit that prevented the church from redacting the names of all these priests in these documents. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know who we're talking about here. He was disappointed in the church's failure to help Garcia's victims, and he expressed shock that the bishop, Juan Azubi, had told the family of two of the boys that Garcia had thought of taking his own life, which prompted Gomez to write to the bishop, "You seem to be at the moment more concerned for the criminal rather than the victim."
Exactly. And it's, you know, and to make it clear, these documents, the redactions you were talking about and the wonderful intervention that the LA Times did was actually about a different set of documents. And those are the ones that are about the settlement that the Archdiocese had with the 500 victims of sexual abuse in 2007. These documents are a different case. So even if the redactions in the other cases had been forced to go through, we would have been able to see these documents redacted the way that they should have been, which is only the victims' names and innocent third parties would have been redacted. So, but as you can see, I mean, these every case that the Times covered in the story, it's shocking, the crimes of these priests. And there are guys who, like Michael Wimpey and Michael Baker, who have served prison sentences for what they did 20 years after Cardinal Mahony knew of their crimes. There's Tamayo, who was a Philippine priest, and he and six other Philippine priests raped a young Los Angeles woman and impregnated her. And when she came forward, the Archdiocese fought her case tooth and nail. But what we find out in the documents is that as the Archdiocese was fighting this brave victim, they knew all along that Tamayo had done it, and they knew all along that the other priests had done it. And what does this say about the pastoral attitude of the diocese? What does this say about the moral authority that Cardinal Mahony or Monsignor, now Bishop Curry, have? It basically says that these men are morally bankrupt, and all they cared about was their pocketbook and their reputation. And I really believe, and hopefully law enforcement will be able to find good enough evidence, that Mahony and Curry should be held responsible, fully responsible to the law for what they did.
Again, I'm speaking with Joelle Castex, who's the West Coast spokesperson for SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by a Priest, and she also has a blog, The Worthy Adversary, which has become one of the most popular and well-read online journals chronicling issues of child sexual abuse. And I don't mean to dwell on this Monsignor Peter Garcia, who preyed on for decades on undocumented children in predominantly Spanish-speaking parishes. And he, of course, went to this New Mexico treatment center that we were talking about. In one case, apparently, according to the church documents, he threatened to have a boy he raped deported if he went to the police. So again, this is the worst abuse of authority in the sense that these people are acting as though they're above the law, and for the longest time they have been above the law, and I'm amazed that the U.S. attorney couldn't crack this case. Steve Cooley, the Los Angeles district attorney, couldn't crack this case. But now it's starting to come open as a result of a civil case.
Yeah, because they couldn't get the access to these documents that they needed. And the Garcia case is very important for another reason, because it highlights what survivors have been saying for the longest time, is that the newest cases that are coming forward, we're finding that the archdiocese and many other dioceses around the country would dump predator priests in parishes that were predominantly Spanish-speaking, predominantly poor, and were populated with a lot of undocumented immigrant families, because those are children who do not report. They don't report for cultural reasons. They don't report for language reasons. They don't report for money reasons. And they don't report because they're scared that they're going to be deported. And Cardinal Mahoney knew this. And for years, he held himself up as a champion on immigration rights. But what we have found, that while out of one side of his mouth, he was saying he was a champion for immigration rights, on the other side, he was dumping his worst priests in Spanish-speaking neighborhoods and putting these poor, innocent, vulnerable children in the path of monsters. And he did nothing to stop it, and he didn't care.
And Joel Castex, he was in communication, was he not, with Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now the Pope, who was then, I can't remember the exact title that he had, but he was the sort of in charge of the doctrine of the faith or something.
Yeah, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith.
Right, right. So what do you know about those exchanges that had to do with pedophile priests?
What canon law required of the archdiocese and every diocese around the world is that when they get a report of abuse, they must keep a file of all those documents, which are these files that we see, and they must make a report to Rome. Because in many cases, it's up to Rome to decide whether or not they're going to have what they call a canonical trial, which is just an internal, disciplinary hearing that has no standing whatsoever with civil authorities, and of course, is certainly not shared with civil authorities. So in Rome, are files just as extensive, if not more extensive, than what the Archdiocese has about all of the predator priests who lived and worked here in Los Angeles and molested kids here. So Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, had a full and thorough knowledge of the abuse that was going on here, and Cardinal Mahoney, supplied them with that information. Yet he did not call the police in some of these most egregious cases.
So in other words, Rome is sitting on all this information. The Vatican has all this information to this day.
Exactly.
But it still appears to be that the priority seems to be that they can, either if they can't cover up, they can pay off.
Yes, and for them, it's much easier to pay off a silent case because they are doing, they do the best they can, and it's outlined in the documents to avoid what they call civil liability. And that means that, crime victims have civil rights. And they have civil rights because in many ways, it is only through our civil justice system that we are really able to punish wrongdoers for crimes past certain statutes of limitations. And it's one of the few ways that we can make victims whole. And, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, with Cardinal Mahoney and Monsignor, now Bishop Curry, obviously did everything they could to make sure that victims had no rights and perpetrators had all the rights.
Well, Joelle, I'm afraid we've run out of time here, but I thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it has been my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Joelle Castex, who is the West Coast spokesperson for SNAP, the Survivors Network for Those Abused by Priests. She's a former journalist, educator, and public relations professional, and she's now a leading national spokesperson, writer, public speaker, and advocate for victims of child sex abuse. Her blog, The Worthy Adversary, has become one of the most popular and well-read online journals chronicling issues of child sexual abuse. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And you can also contact us at facebook.com/IanMastersMedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another background briefing. Bye for now. Down in America, the guy that lived next door in 305 took the kids to the park and disappeared by 9:30. Who will ever know how much she loved them so? That dark night alone in America. My quiet voice was singing something to me, an age-old song about the home of the brave and the slant here of the free. One time, one night. One more light goes on.